Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul, and it's a privilege and an honor to be here with you once again on this Tuesday, the 28th of Sivan, the 24th of June. I hope you're well. Sending prayers to all our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land and all over the world, and to all good people, that please God be safe and safe not only from the enemy without, but often from the enemy within. So today I want to forbring and kind of explore a theme. I actually heard this idea yesterday. I was listening to a podcast overseas. And a certain idea that was shared really generated a lot of thoughts, and we'll see where it goes. A lot of people like being progressive. They like progress. We all like that word. And I'm not talking about progressive in a necessarily a political sense, the progressive left. I'm talking about the idea of progress. Everyone likes progress. But often when we think of progress, we think about it as the old was bad, the new was awesome, right? They're a maverick. They're slick. They're living in this world. They embrace change. All those things are often said as compliments. Embracing change is always a good thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. Is every change good? Do I have to embrace every single change? There's a lot of things that happen in this world I don't have to embrace. There's every idea that's put out there by a professor or an article. Do I have to embrace everything that's changed? No. Fundamentally, what this presenter was sharing is that progress should mean that I build on the foundations of the old. I look at the accumulated knowledge and experience of all those that came before me, or as many as possible, and then take it forward. So, for example, as a Jew, often people think that progress is to become, to secularize myself, to drop the old stuff, right? Move into the new world, because this world obviously knows exactly what it's doing. I mean, just look how wise this world is, right? I'm being cynical. Sorry I had to state that. Especially in the last few years when we see that the elites of academia and the elites of media and the elites of the real smart, sophisticated people are quite foolish when it comes to morality, right and wrong. But many of us still buy into that narrative that says that progress, by extension, by definition, means that I'm letting go of the old. But is that true? Or is progress building upon all the wisdom or a lot of the wisdom that we've accumulated over centuries, millennia, etc.? I want to think about it this way, because it's an important topic to talk about all the time, especially now when the starkness of good and evil is becoming much starker. In other words, if I spoke to you 3-4 years ago about good and evil, remember in the heat of COVID, etc., what's good, what's evil? Some people at that stage were saying that all the lockdowns were evil. Some people were saying it's pure goodness, but fundamentally that's not, I believe, where the line of good and evil strikes. I think in the last 2 years, especially the last 21 months, since October 7th, there was a stark choice that was presented in front of the world. Which side will you go with? And in the last 2 weeks, just under 12 days, once again, ever since the attack on the Iranian nuclear, etc., that ability, that starkness to sit there seeing the difference between good and evil and knowing what's right and what's wrong, is now forcing a lot of us to ask ourselves, okay, so first of all, which side am I on? And how do I identify myself? Who am I? And that automatically leads to our identity, our history, where we come from, who we are, how we got here, etc. I've said it before that I believe that you know, as a rabbi, that the most important topic a person can study is Torah, ethics, morality, decency, the manual of living. But the second most important subject, I believe, is history. That the most important, I would call maybe secular subject, is history, both Jewish history and wider history. Because history gives you a bird's eye view if you study history, like without getting too lost in the details, but the narrative of history and the basic storyline, it gives you a lot of perspective on the lessons that a person has to learn, the identity, how we got here, where we're going. We could have a lot more understanding of how to create the world of where we want to go to if we understand where we're coming from. And we live in a time that many people don't appreciate history, right? Some refer to it as that people that live today, to be progressive is to consider this year as year zero, that everything that happened till now were a bunch of bigots and a bunch of haters and a bunch of evil people. And today we're restarting. But every single society that tried to restart without building on the foundation of old created chaos. And I'll give you two prime examples. Communism. One of the big ideas of communism, and this time I'm not going to talk about Russian communism as much as I'll talk about Chinese communism. So when China had its big revolution in the 50s and starved 60 million of their own people to death, but that's another story. Google that. I didn't make up that fact. Anywhere between 40 and 60 million people of their own starved in a four-year period, I believe. A big thing that the Mao and his whole coalition did then was tear down a lot of history. They smashed an incredible amount of historical symbols and monuments, etc. And the other example I'll give is ISIS. When ISIS came and conquered parts of Syria and Iraq, one of the first things they would do is blow up ancient places because they're trying to erase history and create a new history. Because the moment there's a history, the moment there's a story, then there's an identity to people. But if you want people to buy into the new identity that Comrade Mao or Comrade Stalin or Comrade Pol Pot is the only thing there is and there's no God, etc., then fundamentally you have to bankrupt the whole history. That's why communist regimes are always anti-religion, because if people have a religion, then they develop their strength, not from the state, but from God. And from their values, and therefore any communist regime will never celebrate religion. It fundamentally can't work because I'm your God, I am everything. You must serve me, right? Can you imagine North Korea allowing people to be religious? There's not a chance in the world. Because ironically, religion is the gateway to freedom. If religion was servitude the way many non-religious people feel, then communist regimes would love religion. But they hate religion. Why do they hate religion so much? Because religion means that I'm not a slave of Kim Jong-un. I'm a slave of God. I serve God. So fundamentally, I follow rules that are bigger than, you know, what the holy leader of the country feels. I follow God himself. And that is a tremendous threat to anybody that wants to be a totalitarian leader, which is basically what all communist regimes are, totalitarian states. So therefore, they're always anti-religion and they're anti-history, because fundamentally what religion and history give people is a sense of identity. This is where I come from. This is the sacrifice my grandparents went through, and this is how I'm here, and this is what I'm celebrating, and this is what I'm commemorating, and this is my identity. A totalitarian state can never allow that. So first of all, a big lesson over here is that religion, as you can see in real life, is actually an expression of freedom, not of servitude. But also, it goes back to what we were talking about, this idea of progress being built on what came before us, rather than just reinventing everything from scratch. That our history matters. And if you're trying to follow the current world political scene, without history, you're basically literally looking through a huge mansion through a keyhole that's mostly blocked. Very, very little view. Anyone thinks that the story between Iran and Israel is simply a story today of power and does not understand a basic outline of Israel's history, of Iranian's history, and not 1948 history, thousands of years in Iran going back to the great days of the Persian Empire, and then their Islamic Revolution, and in Israel going all the way back to Joshua and Abraham, even earlier, Avraham Avinu. If anyone's showing up as a political commentator without knowing anything other than what they read in the news this morning, they're clueless. And yet so many people approach the world without a sense of history, without a sense of that we are building on foundations, and that fundamentally, without understanding where we came from, you have no idea about the present, and you definitely cannot help us chart where we're going. And with that in mind, I want to share one of my favorite songs on the theme of memory. This is Memories on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and we're here on the Fabringen show every Tuesday from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Thank you for joining us. You were just listening to Memories from Mordechai Ben David. And today's Fabringen is really about this idea of identity and memories and knowing where we come from, and the fundamentally building on where we come from is a much healthier way of living rather than each person reinventing ourselves. I think one of the major reasons why there is so much anxiety out there, obviously some of the stuff is genetic and it's not my forte, but I believe a lot of it is cultural as well. And when a person does not have a sense of where they're coming from, they really struggle to cope with where they are and definitely to make a plan of where they're going. And when we rob people the opportunity to understand their heritage, when the most important subject for our kid to learn is 2 + 2 = 4, more than who are you and what has led you to this point after thousands of years, I think we're then going to struggle with a huge lack of sense of self and identity. You think the analogy of, imagine you're in a rocket ship that's been flying for thousands of years. Literally, you're aiming to go to one of the stars and you're just going for thousands of years. And the rocket ship is still working. You're still getting closer. You still have food. You still have a community, etc. And you're in the ship that's literally going through space and time. And then somebody comes and they're progressive and they come and sit there saying, ugh, you know what, I really don't think this ship is a great ship. I think we should actually start, you know, making holes in it, or maybe we should go build a new ship. And the guy's like, dude, if you get out of this ship, you're going to, you know, lose yourself in outer space. Says who? In this ship, we seem to defy gravity and seem to be not getting lost. And I've lived here my whole life. And who says there's nothing better out there? As Jews, and not only as Jews, as all people that come from a good, solid, healthy tradition, but specifically in this context, as the Fabringen show, as Jews, we come from we're in a rocket ship that's been going for thousands of years and has produced a nation that has transformed the world through ethics and morals. Yes, many other innovations as well, but for me, the greatest innovation that we taught the world is right and wrong. We taught the world about kindness, and we taught the world about decency and human rights and respect for dignity. And we taught the world that there's such a thing as good and there's such a thing as evil, etc. And countless other subjects, the lessons that we've learned. Just open the Bible, just open the Tanakh, and see the lessons that we taught the world. And yet so many of us, so many of our children are sitting and saying, Judaism, cute, sweet. But I'm progressive. I want to embrace every new crazy idea out there because that's going to get me a lot of TikTok views. And look, that cool person says so they must be correct. I mean, how charismatic are they? They're just so cool. And if 100 million people are following them on TikTok, then it must be that they are right. Look how amazing they look. Look how well they present their ideas. Look how incredible they are. Rubbish. Rubbish. Today, we live in a world that the more clicks you get, the more profound it must be that you are. Really? A lot of the stuff that get the most clicks on the internet are rubbish or evil or immature or pathetic or vulgar. Ideas that get the most clicks and ideas that are the most popular and the most charming and that all your friends are into don't necessarily mean they're good ideas. It means they're seductive ideas. And not every seductive idea or seductive image or seductive presentation is in any way perfect. But our tradition, where we come from, is incredible. And we're living in a time, as we said earlier, that the starkness of the world, of seeing the difference between good and evil, it's been very clear in the last 2 years which person has their head screwed on and which one doesn't. Anyone that's been able to see through the lies and rubbish and stand with the Jewish people in Israel is usually right about every other subject as well. I remember watching a video, it was on PragerU. There's this fellow, I forget what his name is, from Ecuador, a non-Jewish guy, and he describes growing up in Ecuador, etc. And at some stage, he starts hearing about Israel in the news all over. This is like five, six, seven, 8 years ago, all over. And he's wondering where Israel is, what Israel is, etc. So he does his own research and reads the books and studies the facts and obviously comes to the conclusion that every person with half a brain comes to, that there is good and there is evil, and the good is on the side of Israel. Anyway, so then he makes this video, which he argues the point that anyone that's on the side of Israel is usually on the side of every good thing. They're usually on the side of the West. They're usually on the side of pro-marriage and pro-having children and pro-dignity and pro-sanity and pro-values, etc. It's usually a package deal. And he calls it like almost a litmus test of sanity, where if you're pro-Israel, you're usually correct about most stuff. You're on the side of values and decency. And if you're wrong and it's anti-Israel, usually you're confused not just about Israel, you're confused about a lot of stuff. And the truth is, we see it. We see it over and over and over. It's almost like this test. It literally is a test, whether you can think straight and see through the rubbish or you cannot. And if you get it right in Israel, the chances are you'll get it right about most important subjects out there in the world. Chances are you will not be an extreme leftist. Chances are you will not be an extreme rightist. In other words, you won't be on the extremes. You'll be balanced. You'll be able to see that there's decency. You'll be pro-sanity, good old values of that have held civilization for thousands of years. You have to be able to see through it. And in order to see through it, you have to have a strong value system, not an expedient or, you know, a value system where basically you do whatever is expedient for you at the time, right? Many politicians will often be expedient and they'll just choose a loyalty to something that will give them the most political advantage, right? It's in their best interest. So we're living in a time that the starkness between right and wrong is some of the clearest than it's been in our lifetime. Right, for those who were alive in the 80s and 70s, etc., they had that more in the era of communism, where you were either pro-communist or you're pro-the West, and there was a very stark difference. Now, you know that somebody's confused morally when they start saying, well, not everything in the West is perfect and not everything in the communist is bad, obviously. Obviously, nobody's perfect. But fundamentally, there is one perspective that is based on good values that leads to the best good and is based on holy, decent, moral values. And the other one that's based on garbage and based on evil and based on destruction. Is it possible a lot of good happens there? Yeah, I'm sure there were many communist, not too many, but many communist comrades that did a lot of kindness. But fundamentally, communism brought endless agony to lots of people. Whereas capitalism brings incredible good. Does it also have people that suffer? Yes, but you cannot even compare. So same thing today with radical Islam and the Iranian regime. We're living in a time where a person can either see things clearly and see that, yes, Israel isn't perfect, and yes, not every Iranian is bad. Most Iranians are actually great people. But fundamentally, one is based on making the world a better place, a decent place, a more equal place in an imperfect way. But their values are solid and they have led to incredible growth and positivity spiritually and physically for many people. And the other one is a totalitarian regime that's there to destroy and hurt and cause pain and literally take over the world with an ideology that's out to literally ruin people's lives. And if you can't see that, then you're blinded. You're morally blind. And a big reason you're morally blind is because you have no values that are solid and ancient. Your just values were invented by somebody in university 5 years ago or 8 years ago, whatever, and you're just following whatever is cool and vogue on TikTok and Instagram, and you're trying to sit there pandering to, oh, I'm moral, look at me. I mean, I'm waving a Palestinian flag, so I must be a very moral person because that's what all the cool people are doing. Great. That's a great barometer of whether you're on the side of right or evil, is just following what everyone else is doing. You know, I mean, Greta Thunberg, she cares about the universe, right? She cares about global warming. I mean, she's been screaming at us that the world's coming to an end, and she cares about the Palestinian cause. So she must be right. And if that's how you define what's right and what's wrong, I pity you. But if you define right and wrong based on values that are much older than you, a rocket ship that's been flying through space for thousands of years, a way of seeing the world through the prism of the Ten Commandments, through the Torah, through values that we've taught the world, that, and it's not our ideas. These are ideas that came from God, given to us by Sinai, given to us by Moshe, and evolved over thousands of years of decent, honorable, incredible, wise people. And chances are you're able to see. You're able to discern. You have that incredible skill of discerning, which most people today don't have. People don't have the ability of discerning. They have the ability to mimic. They have the ability to just follow like a goat, like a bunch of sheep, whatever it seems to be the popular way. But if you're standing back and you're actually asking yourself, what are the values that have led the world to the way it is? What are the good values? Which values have led to the most flourishing societies that are the freest, the kindest, the wisest, not societies that lead to anarchy, totalitarian destruction, control, lack of agency. And a person's able to look and see with clarity, then they're able to choose the side of goodness. But in order to do that, you have to build on the foundations of the past. You have to progress, but only by building on what we already have. So I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to all of us. We come from an incredible heritage. We come from a heritage that changed the world, changes the world, and is guaranteed to change the world. Because there's one thing that every single person with a brain knows, that in 100 years from now, please God, long after Mashiach comes, but wherever the world is in 100 years from now, there will be Jews putting on tefillin, lighting Shabbos candles, teaching Torah. And yes, despite whatever AI will take us in 100 years' time from now, I mean, where it will take us in 1 month from now, never mind 100 years from now, some things will never change. And when you see something that is immutable, something that is just indelible, that does not change, and that is Am Yisrael Chai. Ask yourself a simple question. What do they have? And don't go back to the simple platitudes like, oh, they're pro-education, and they work hard. Those are cute. But rather, in the words of Rav Sadia Gaon, the great sage of the 8th or 9th century, he says, Ein umaseinu ela b'terasai. What makes our nation great is its ethics, its morals, its Torah. If you ever ask someone, well, how are the Jewish people still here? And you hear answers about, well, we were always pro-education. That's cute. I mean, 300 years ago, I don't think a single Jew had a degree in anything because we weren't allowed in universities. So what do you mean when you say education? You mean Torah education. Yes, we were always pro-education, Torah education. We were always pro our Torah and mitzvot. We held on to traditions. We held the Pesach Seder every single year, and we went to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and we went to shul on Shabbos as well, and we went to shul on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And we built families and so much else. You want to understand us? You have to understand our traditions, our wisdom, our customs. And then build on that to find your own identity within it. But don't throw away where you come from. The greatest thing about you is your history. And the only thing that's waiting is the next greatest thing, and that is what future you will build on that. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson. We're here in the final few minutes of our show, the Fabringen show. I'm really talking about a sense of history, a sense of identity, and a sense of ability to discern, right? To be able to see things. One of the greatest gifts, I remember my sister told me years ago that one of her mentors told her that one of the greatest gifts of life, if not the greatest, is the gift of clarity. And I remember hearing this, I must have heard this 20 years ago, but since then it's stuck with me. I really believe it's one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift in life, to have clarity, to be able to see, right? A lot of us make choices in our lives, but we make choices in fog of war. We make choices when our head is hazy. We choose to marry someone and we don't think it through. We choose to divorce them. We don't think it through. We choose jobs. We choose career paths. We choose communities. We choose friends. We choose health lifestyles, etc. Countless big choices. I'm not talking about the small choices necessarily per se. Big choices that have huge impacts on our life and quality of life and the legacy we leave in this world. And we make it with lack of clarity. In Yiddish, you would say, nicht ausgedacht. It's not thought through. It's not like you ask someone, explain me, well, how did you get to that? And they struggle. Very few people have the ability to actually think through things in a wise way that actually leads to building, not destruction. So in order to do that, a person needs to have a value system, because then every decision you make, you ask yourself a simple question. How does this align? How does this align with my values? And then I can make much better decisions. Like, yes, I like this person, but are they good for me? What's the chances I will be able to build a solid relationship with a person that's going in a totally different direction, even though we're very attracted to each other? Well, you just put the statistics much lower. Can it work? Yeah, there are always examples. But I think one of the silly things in life is when we make decisions based on exceptions that work. Exceptions to a rule are not a way to decide. In other words, yes, there's an example of two people who are going in two different directions that had a great marriage, but that's an exception, not a rule. And often we're doing things that, but I don't know, maybe it will work. I mean, there is someone that bought a lottery ticket and became a millionaire, so maybe I should just spend my life buying lottery tickets. No one would say that's a great strategy. Why? Because, like, that's an exception, extreme exception. And besides the fact, not even earning money in a lottery is not necessarily the best way to earn money, and the proof is that often it leads to more chaos than building. But that's not even the point. The point is to think through things with clarity. And I think that we're living in a time that there's a little more clarity than there was in this world 3 years ago. I really believe that. I think that we're able to see with much starker things, right? Well, I said earlier that often people that get it right in Israel get it right in other things. Listen to it. Listen to your presenter on the, you know, on whatever radio you listen or whatever YouTube channel you watch, and you'll start seeing that if they're wrong about Israel, they're wrong about everything. I often think we're listening to these commentators as if they're God, right? How many commentators said, oh my gosh, if Israel attacks Iran, it's going to come the end of the world. The whole Middle East will be in flames. You know that why? Because you look in a crystal ball. Iran sent a few rockets yesterday to Qatar after notifying Qatar that they're going to send it and apologizing this morning for sending it. That's the burning up the Middle East. Now, I'm not saying things are perfect, but again, all these commentators coming and saying things as if they literally, the Lord has shown them to them the night before. People that are getting up on the radio today and talking rubbish, including here in this country. Various radio stations where people are just coming and saying rubbish. But what do you mean? They have a big platform. Millions of people listen to them on the radio while they're driving on the highways. They must be wise. No. No, they mustn't. And chances are, if they're wrong about Israel, then they're wrong about almost every single thing on earth. Because if you cannot see the starkness between good and evil when it's slapping you in the face, the way it slapped you in the face the last 2 years, the way it slapped the world in the face the last 2 years, if you cannot see it, then you're unable to see anything. Reminds me of that fellow that shows up to a home uninvited, and the host looks at him and says, sir, you know, this is not your home. I ask you to leave. The guy continues sitting. I says, really? Like, I really am insisting that you leave, etc. He's going from hinting to hinting. Eventually, after like an hour of trying to give all these, you know, hints and statements, etc., he picks the guy up, literally throws him out of the house, and the guy starts rolling down the stairs. And as he hits the bottom stair, he says, oh, now I get the hint. Feels like a lot of people in this world, especially commentators, are literally being slapped and even being thrown down the stairs. And as they're hitting the bottom stair, they're still saying, but I'm with Iran. I'm with jihadis. You know, I really like them. I think they got it right. Like, their moral version of the world is exactly where I want to be. I want to be in a world that's run by jihadis. I don't want to be in a world that's run by the West or by decent people or that where Israel can live in peace. That doesn't make sense to me. I want to be with the crazies who behead people. Wow. You're a genius. You're so clever. I can't believe you thought about that. It's amazing to me that 25 years after 9/11, 24 years, and after everything, there's still people that think that standing with extremists is normal, sane, and moral. And they come preach to us about proportional response and river to the sea and other rubbish. So here's where I'm going to finish. Here's what I'm going to say. I think we have to be grateful that we live in the age of clarity. And I have to be grateful that chances are, if you're listening to Chai FM, that you have a head on your shoulders. You're able to see with clarity that there is good in this world and there is evil. And that standing with the values that Chai FM stands for and standing with the values of Jewish state, standing with the values of the Jewish people will lead to a world of goodness. As God promised Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. May all those who bless us truly be blessed. May this world finally wake up from its slumber of moral equivalency and see the reality as it is. Am Yisrael Chai. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, wishing you a wonderful day. This song by Benny Friedman and Baruch Levine on the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Please, God, may we see it in our time. Amen.